What's going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and I'm joined this week by Matthew. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, Logan?
You know, just killing it as always.
You know it.
What you been up to, man? What's new in the Matt world of things?
Oh, not much, man. Just some personal moves being made, to be discussed later. But yeah, had a good Easter Sunday. And let me be the first to congratulate you, Logan, on entering the quarter century club.
Thank you for being the first to congratulate me, Matt. Let me be the first to thank you for welcoming me to the quarter century club. Yeah, dude. Yeah, had a birthday over the weekend. Big shouts to Catherine for pulling together a pretty awesome birthday weekend for me. She knocked it out of the park. I did a little Topgolf action on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, hell yeah.
Do they have Topgolf where you're at, Matt?
Okay. Oh, yeah. They've got a few.
Okay. And I did okay there. You know, golf is one of those things that you either have a really good day or you want to throw the club. And I was pretty decent, but then so I went to Topgolf with a handful of my closest friends, but then afterwards we hit up a local brewery down here. And it was a surprise. I didn't know that was going to happen. And there was my parents and a bunch of like other couples and friends that we have down here. And we just started mobbing, dude.
Thought I might come back to that.
Oh yeah, I just thought of the mobbing thing. So
with Da Boys.
Yeah, we mobbed with the boys, and it was a good time, man. We had a really good time, and super big shouts to Catherine for putting it together, and all the other people that helped. And we're there like that. That was awesome. And then had a nice little chill Easter Sunday. Me and Catherine and Turner went over to my parents and we hung out. We ate and we just sat there and talked for the afternoon. The weather was really nice here. Don't know about you. It was like 70.
Really, really, really nice. Really nice.
Yeah, it was so nice. And yeah, just we just mobbed, man. Christ is risen, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
What was the MVP of your Easter meal?
The MVP, so now I know why. We're going to be transparent because that's what we are here on the Binge Boys.
Sure.
I know why the Binge Boys music didn't come through at the beginning there is because my audio device wasn't selected. So.
That it is selected. Do I sound any different?
You sound much better, and I'm not echoing on my end anymore.
Amazing. So there you go. That is why the Binge Boys music wasn't playing. Maybe I'll play it for them. For shits and gigs at the beginning after we're done here, I'll edit it in. But anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the MVP of your Easter meal.
It's the same for me for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. It's the mashed potatoes, man. I'm a huge mashed tater guy.
Sure.
It just hit. Also, maybe this doesn't fit into the Easter meal qualifications, but since it was my birthday, there was a Great American Cookie Cake present. And we just mobbed on that for a minute, and it was just great. How many times can I say mob in one episode?
I think that's number five or six at least, so we'll keep the count going.
So we just chilled, man. It was nice. It was a nice weekend. What about you? I assume the same for you. You guys just hung out with family and whatnot.
Yeah, just family. So my girlfriend's birthday is a little later on in the month, but since we were up in Chicago with my family, we did a little birthday celeb for her. So shouts to Rachel getting older. Yeah, played some board games. Only the real No Mysterium is like Clue, but better. It's real spooky. Just like some other games. And then, yeah, Easter, went to the church thing. It was outside, which was, you know, very fitting. You know, spring.
Spring rising.
The sun is rising, both S-U-N and S-O-N. Yeah. And then had a good old brunch. The MVP, I just had some leftovers for it, so maybe it's recency bias, but my mom got some grits off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere, my mom said, "Yeah, I'm gonna make cheesy bacon grits." I'm like, I'm no complaints.
Did she get a grit off? Like, is
oh yeah, dude. No, yeah, it happened.
Oh, that's dope, man. Yeah, hope everybody had a nice Easter. This is coming to you on Tuesday, but hopefully your Easter was swell.
Yep. Let me be the first to say Happy Easter,
Matt. Let me be the second to say Happy Easter. So yeah, hopefully everybody had a nice Easter. So, some programming notes before we really dive in. If this is your first time listening to the Binge Boys, welcome. And if it's not, if you're a regular person, welcome back. There's a few things that I ask of you when you listen in and you tune in to the show. One of which is to go to iTunes.com/BingeBoysPodcast and rate and review the show. It helps us out a lot. It gives us feedback. We want it. And when we get to 50 ratings, Tanner, I will take a video of Tanner doing something really embarrassing. I'm not sure what it is yet, but we'll make sure Tanner does something to make sure you guys have to make sure that we have earned those 50 ratings. We're somewhere in the mid to late 30 ratings right now. So
how about we go on TikTok and find the most viral dance craze of that week and then let the listeners pick on Twitter?
I don't hate that at all. So we're going to make Tanner do some TikTok dances for the 50 ratings. And he's not here to defend himself. Tanner is currently on vacay with his family in spring break. It's spring break here in Georgia. So they went to Orange Beach, Alabama to soak up the sun. Sheryl Crow action there. So yeah, and that other thing is just go follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. We got Emily, shouts to Emily, making up some sick graphics for our reviews and our news and all of that stuff. So make sure you go check it out. That's all you need to do. Binge Boys Podcast on Instagram and then rate and review on iTunes. That's all we ask. And of course, just follow along. Get engaged. Me and Matt are pretty active on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter if you'd like.
Yeah.
And you'll get to see what we argue about. Matt, a big thing that I argued about with a lot of people last weekend was which fry gets canceled.
Okay.
I don't know if you chimed in, but out of crinkle cut, waffle, skinny, or curly. Yes. Which fry is getting tossed out of that group for you?
I think for me, it's skinny.
Really?
Lowest floor out of all of them. A lot of people will say that belongs to crinkle, but I think the average crinkle cut fry is better than the average skinny fry.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. I think the biggest criticism that crinkle cut fries get is that if they're not seasoned or salted or whatever correctly, then it's just a fat chunk of potato. And whereas if you get, you know, the skinny fries, that's that's at least a little bit less potato. So it's not like you're just eating potatoes. But I think I'm canceling, unfortunately, I think I'm canceling curly fries.
Really?
Which the way I think about this is that you can't, unless you can you name more than three places that serve amazing curly fries?
Definitely Arby's.
Arby's has them. Yeah. Hooters also. Okay. Not to make it weird, but Hooters has great curly fries. They do. But
and also
after those two places, I can't think of anything.
You know, I can't, but I feel like you stumble upon like random places that have like the same curly fry. Like my college cafeteria, like they had them on Fridays, like different just like random concession stands have like they're probably the exact same fries like pre-season just like thrown in there. And I feel like those are like one of the least cancelable because like you know where you can get them.
That's true. That's fair. There are arguments surrounding all of these the fries. But yeah, so if you're interested in stupid, silly debates like that, go follow us on Twitter. But otherwise, Matt, I've got just two headlines today. I tried to trim it down a little bit to stuff that wasn't red hot important,
sure.
But just a couple things that are worth noting. Number one, the dude that is playing John Walker, his name is Wyatt Russell, on The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, is receiving quite a few death threats on the internet for playing the new Captain America. Fans are not happy with Wyatt Russell taking over the U.S. agent, the U.S. agent character, and both on Twitter and Instagram, his fan page has received several death threats. Just because of this guy. Because
that's crazy.
I think a lot of people like to forget that this guy is just playing a role that he read a script for. Like, this guy's not actually a douchebag.
Right, yeah. Like, as far as I know, I've never seen a movie with this guy in it. And if I have, like, that's even more reason why he's fine. He's just a dude.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting and worth bringing up to yep. kind of bring up the whole idea of, like, stop bullying actors and actresses. They're just doing a job. If you really truly hate something that someone's playing, write a angry letter to the writers for writing the character to be such a shitty person. It's like
that. Then also say thank you to the writers, because then they wrote a great character. If it elicited that much emotion from you.
I think other great examples of this are Kelly Marie Tran in the Star Wars Episode 8. She got bullied off of Instagram because people hated her role.
I stan Rose.
Do you?
I do.
Man, I do not. But it has nothing to do with the actress or anything. Like, I just thought that her role was kind of shoehorned in there. But I mean, like, I would never bully her on the internet. Like, that's horrible. And then the other example, really, this guy really received him, was the guy who played King Joffrey on Game of Thrones.
Him, and then I was also going to say the youngest version of Anakin from Phantom Menace.
Oh, yeah, that little kid,
That's, like,
kid,
the last
dude.
Thing he's ever done.
Because the Star Wars fans buried him into the ground.
Yeah. Ugh.
That's sad, but the moral of the story is, don't bully actors for playing a role. It's just a role.
Yep.
But anyway, next little piece. In an article from Deadline, Netflix is paying over $450 million to acquire the IP for Knives Out, the whodunit movie that came out a few years ago, directed by Rian Johnson, ironically the guy who also directed Star Wars Episode 8, which featured Rose. But Knives Out was a pretty superb movie. Did you see that one, Matt?
Big fan. Yeah, I really liked it.
Huge fan of Knives Out over here on the Binge Boys. And Netflix acquired that IP for over $450 million for Knives Out 2 and 3. Daniel Craig and director Rian Johnson are reprising their roles in the movie. So it looks like, these sequels are happening. I think that we always knew that a sequel was going to happen. Oh, my goodness. Definitely. Shout out to Jeff from New Realm for texting me. Also really good on the exchange. Check it out. But yeah, I mean, this movie was a lot of fun. I think it was a breath of fresh air.
Definitely.
You only get a really good whodunit movie every so often. So when one comes out that's really good, it was one of my favorite movies of that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really good. So, all right, I'm excited to see what Netflix does with this series. Hopefully, well, I assume they're not going to put it in the ground, considering Rian Johnson and Daniel Craig are coming back for it. I think they said that each one is going to be a different story, and Daniel Craig's character is investigating the crime. So essentially just a new cast of characters, not referencing the other movies.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to do it. You can kind of get a great ensemble cast and not, like, be forced to, you know, re-up contracts, because I feel like that's always leads to just uneven casting, kind of makes the dynamic weird when, okay, you kept, like, these many people, but then, you know, half of them, like, left, and it's like, well, they're all one family, so you're going to have to come up with some kind of way and reason why they split up. So, yeah, that'd definitely be the good way to do it, to keep Daniel Craig at the center of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really excited to see what comes of that, and hopefully we see a trailer in the next year or so for the sequel. But speaking of trailers, how about that transition? We got not one, not two, but three trailers that dropped over the last week that are worth at least mentioning just for a couple minutes. Number one, Star Wars: The Bad Batch. It's a it's an animated series coming to Disney Plus on May the 4th. Look at Disney taking advantage of that May the 4th date. You love to see it.
You do.
And basically, The Bad Batch is surrounding these clones that were introduced in both Rebels and the Clone Wars. Basically, like a almost like a Suicide Squad of clones. Like each one has their own special ability and specifications and qualifications, and it looks like it's just like another fun animated series. Same art style as the Clone Wars.
Yep.
Done by Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, I'm pretty sure, at the helm. Maybe not Jon Favreau, but for sure Dave Filoni.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, did this trailer get you any more hype for the show, or are you still like, I'm interested?
I'm like kind of like mid-key interested. Like I still got so much Star Wars to catch up on. Like I still got Mando, I still got Rebels, I still got Clone Wars. So it's like the funnel is just filling, man. Like I just can't get through it all.
Honestly, if you could probably, and this isn't to discredit Rebels because it is a good one, you could probably watch like a summary on YouTube. Like it's good, but it's not like I'm gonna waste like, you know, a week of watching time, like watching the show. Like it's not that worth it.
Gotcha.
Truly, the Clone Wars is worth watching in full. And I mean, the episodes are 20 minutes a piece, and you honestly could probably throw it on in the background while you're working. I think that's how my one of the roommates, Jordan, watched a big chunk of the Clone Wars. Is he kind of just turned it on in the background and watched it that way. But then, like, some elements of each episode carry over and a story starts to form. But I assume this is going to be very similar to that format.
Yeah. So does it get you more in, less in, equal amounts in?
I'm where you are. I'm excited for it, but I'm not like jumping up and down about it.
Yeah.
If we were talking about Obi-Wan or Ahsoka or something, then I'd be jumping up and down. But I mean, this is also just another animated series that takes place in between episodes 3 and 4. So like how amazing is it going to, what's it going to add to the Star Wars universe that we don't already know?
It's like, you know, the revelations can only be so big if it's taking place sort of between two known points. Like if anything big happens, we'd have already known about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be many surprises, I'm sure. Maybe a few familiar faces here and there, but I'm sure there's going to be nothing groundbreaking that's just like, oh my God, dude, you have to watch this show. So yeah, that's good. We're excited for it then. I'm sure whoever does watch it, maybe we'll give weekly updates to it. Depends on what else is airing on Disney Plus at that time, weekly wise. Another trailer that dropped was really the one that we should spend more attention on, actually. So I won't say it yet, but Disney released a trailer today for Loki. Original series starting streaming on June 11th. And Matt, what did this trailer do for you in terms of your excitement for Loki?
Dude, Marvel's already got me. I'm already watching it, but this is like looks pretty tight. Like it looks, more kind of more another sort of odd couple buddy show, which I mean less like more of like an odd pairing between Loki and then whoever his handler was there in time jail.
Yeah, I mean, how many times are we going to get Owen Wilson saying wow in this show?
Dude, not enough. I love it.
Awesome to see to see Owen Wilson joining the MCU finally. I agree. I think it looked really cool. There's a lot of really interesting shots in that trailer that kind of like they explain it in the very beginning, like when you took the Tesseract, you created 50 branch timelines.
Yep.
There was almost, I kind of watched a trailer analysis and it almost looked like at one point Loki was on Mjolnir where Black Widow, you know, had to give her life to get the Soul Stone. So there might be some crossover there and we'll see, man. I'm pretty hyped for it. Before I was kind of where we are on the Bad Batch. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm drinking the Marvel Kool-Aid. They've got me, they've got my money. But this kind of elevated my excitement for it. I'm here for it.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely like Loki is definitely a character who I feel like the more FaceTime you give him, the better he gets. Like he just has such a great screen presence. His characters is so like interesting, just how it's kind of developed over the, you know, the whole Infinity Stone saga. So to sort of see the first step if on, you know, which side he's going to be on. It's probably going to be his, you know, his own. That's kind of his go-to. So
Yeah, I agree. So I guess we'll be on the lookout for Loki here in a couple months in mid-June. So I think that's the next Marvel series we get before or after Falcon and the Winter Soldier, unless What If comes out before Loki, but they haven't advertised that much at all yet. So
yeah, so that makes me think it is Loki probably.
okay. Well then I guess we'll see. Well, I guess with the Bad Batch coming out at the beginning, the first week of May, once Falcon and the Winter Soldier ends, I think the last week of April. So I guess that would make sense timeline wise. We'll have just like a week before Star Wars starts. So that's tight. They're just gonna keep us they're just gonna keep us hooked week by week.
Fat, dumb, and happy.
That's what they used to call me in high school.
Works better than most of those.
It sure does. I've been called a lot worse things. I'd rather be called fat, dumb, and happy. Last trailer that got a lot of attention, I believe on Saturday, was the trailer for Space Jam: A New Legacy. Now, Matt, I'll start by saying I don't want to say I have a soft spot for Space Jam. I've
Okay.
seen it. It makes sense. I get the cultural impact that it made, and the Looney Tunes obviously are awesome, but I've never been like a guy who stands Space Jam.
That's about where I'm at. Yeah, I watched it a bunch as a kid. I mean, as anyone kind of in our age, most people in our age range did. But yeah, I'm not one of those kids rocking the Toon Squad jersey, you know, to frat parties or whatever.
Right. So I've been one to frequently like criticize the existence of this sequel. Like, why are they making a sequel to a movie that doesn't need a sequel? What, like, this is just an obvious cash grab. Of
Yeah.
course, they're using LeBron James, which I don't know if I've gone on the record for saying I fucking hate LeBron James.
Really?
And not for any legitimate reason.
At least you admit that.
It's kind of like my hate for Taylor Swift. Like, I hate her being like a meme, but like I still listen to her music and like follow her on social media. Like, I don't hate
Sure.
Taylor Swift, but like it's just a bit at this point. But something about LeBron James, man, I'm gonna try hard to come up with a reason why I don't like him, but I fucking hate LeBron James, man. Every
At
time
least
I
you're
see
trying
him,
to.
every time I see him tweet or post something, I'm like, you fucking asshole, man. Like, I just hate LeBron James. I'll say it. I hate LeBron James.
So you're an MJ goat over LeBron goat.
I don't know if I stan MJ over LeBron, but I definitely respect Michael Jordan more than LeBron James.
Fair.
But watching this trailer, I am somewhat hyped for this movie.
I think they're doing something a lot more different than I was kind of expecting.
Yeah, seeing the trailer and seeing that they're kind of going like full multiverse,
Yeah.
basically transporting LeBron James into like the digital catalog of Warner Brothers. Like, if you pause, if you're watching the basketball scene in the trailer where they're playing ball and you pause it at any given moment, you can see at least 10 other Warner Brother properties. Like, you got the Night King sitting courtside. You've got like Scooby-Doo, King Kong, Iron Giant. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, like everyone's here saying like we want a sequel to the Iron Giant, and then this is what we get. No, we don't want this.
Let me just say, if they make a sequel to the Iron Giant, I'm gonna be uber pissed. As much as I
Yeah.
love the Iron Giant.
Oh, it's been too long at this point, but it's like when we were all kids when we were like asking for that, and we didn't know that they would ruin it.
But did you ever see Ready Player One, Matt?
No, but I did like from the trailer, like from that. like just all of them like running to the court, like did give me that vibe, if that's what you're going for.
Yes, I saw Ready Player One and quite enjoyed it, and this gives off heavy Ready Player One vibes.
Yep, because that trailer also had the Iron Giant in it, didn't it?
Yes, it did. They utilized an Iron Giant.
Yeah, we'll have to get him in the thumbnail. He's getting tons of play right now.
There's also a moment where you can see like Jack Nicholson's Joker, Danny DeVito's Penguin, Michael Keaton's Batman. Like they're really going all in on this. Like there's a scene where you can see Pennywise the clown. Like
yeah,
you can really see all of Warner Brothers like prized possessions in this trailer.
Have you felt like this has been a movie that's been talked about for like the last 10 years?
100%.
And then I see the scenes with like all these characters. It's like, well, maybe they were actually working on it that whole time. There's a lot of shit in here.
So I will say that I'm coming around, and I'm excited for this movie. I probably will not pay to see it in theaters. I will watch this on HBO Max
for sure.
But yeah, I kind of like. While watching it was like laughing to myself. I'm like, wow, this actually looks entertaining. Like,
definitely.
Do you have any, did this kind of tip you over the edge? How you feel? Like, are you, I don't want to say excited, but are you more open to this idea now?
Yeah, I was definitely nudged in the direction of let's, you know, it's trying its own thing, which is really all I kind of want for movies nowadays. I am not a LeBron hater like you. I thought he was one of the funniest people in Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer comedy. He's got some good lines in there. So he can do more than just say, look in a camera and say, drink Pepsi or whatever.
whatever
acting he does. Or Sprite, that's his. There was the LeBron Sprite.
Yeah.
But
I'm open to it. I want to see Trainwreck because that's on my list. Isn't John Cena in there too?
Yes. It's she goes from John Cena to Bill Hader, as all women usually do.
Oh, yeah. You go from like the most macho man ever to a dude that kind of looks like a serial killer.
A little bit.
So, yeah, we're excited for Space Jam, and I'm sure we'll review it when it comes out in mid-July. I think July 16th is when it drops.
Sounds right.
So be on the lookout for that when that comes out. Next up, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Episode 3. Matt, did you watch? What'd you think? A lot happened this episode. What you got? What you thinking?
Yeah, definitely watched. It moved by a lot quicker than some of the other ones. I felt like just a lot the action couple of action sequences in them helped, and just kind of keeping an eye on what Zemo's got going on is always takes a lot of energy. But yeah, I thought it was good. There was a lot going on, but also it felt like one of the slower episodes. Like sort of they had already set up a bunch of pieces, and this was kind of watching the dominoes fall a little bit. So I don't know. What were your thoughts on it overall?
I very much so enjoyed it. I loved Zemo. Who would have thought that I would be standing Baron Zemo in this show? But he was awesome. I think in Civil War, we got him as just like the depressed guy that lost his family in Sokovia.
Yeah.
To this guy now that's been in jail for a couple years now, I think. And
and is loaded too. I like that joke. That was funny.
A dude that's just, he had most of the funniest and best one-liners in this episode. Like,
yeah,
give me a show or just give me more Baron Zemo. Like I'm all in on him.
Sure.
And I really enjoyed him. When I tell you, I stood up and applauded when they went into the rave and Baron is just like getting it. I was like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, that was funny.
Let's go. He's just mobbing out there, dude. Wearing his turtleneck. Like fucking Steve Jobs looking ass over here, dude. Just getting it on the dance floor. I was vibing. Catherine was like, you're being dramatic. I was like, Baron Zemo is getting it on the dance floor. How dare you not overreact?
That was pretty tight.
So I absolutely loved it, man. The pacing was awesome. We got a lot more detail about the story. We got Sharon Carter, which
yep.
What'd you think about her appearance?
I thought that was good. I think it's just like sort of another, you know, another sort of string to tug on. Because I think like Sam and guilt is kind of like the biggest conflict of this whole sort of biggest like internal conflict. So I think that's sort of like another dimension on it. And, you know, it just keeps pushing him towards wanting to sort of take the shield back for himself.
Yeah, I think we're still coming along here. If I remember correctly, I don't think we got any John Walker this episode. If we did, very briefly.
He interrogated, though, I think it was in Munich, maybe. But, yeah, it was not very much. I thought it might have been him at the end, but then we got the Wakanda lady, and I was big pumped for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sure you caught the doot, 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 like the theme in Wakanda, like – there's a lot of rumors speculating, man, and I know that
your favorite.
And I know that we did this for WandaVision, but let me just bring up a theory. So most of this show was filmed prior to Chadwick Boseman passing away. And what if this woman was sent to try to capture Bucky or capture somebody, and she fails, and Chadwick Boseman makes an appearance? Because there was a quote from, I think, Kevin Feige that said, there is an episode in this show, I think it was episode 5, that will make you cry, like your eyes out.
It might, but I could also see them like having that and then him passing and then maybe like wanting to cut it out, which I trust them to do and make the right decision on if it, you know, properly honors the memory, like leave it in. But I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I definitely don't think if he does pop in, he's going to have a major role. He might just pop in and say, like, or and just have an appearance. Like, I don't think he's going to be Black Panthering or anything. Like, it would just be, like, T'Challa, like, making an appearance. But
makes sense.
If he showed up, dude, the internet would probably break.
Probably. Yeah, I didn't see it coming. But then, like, one I saw her, and then I remember like those beads. It's like, had, you know, when we watched the Black Panther for the run through. If I hadn't watched that so recently, I wouldn't have like put that together as quickly.
Well, what's funny is I didn't even make that connection until she popped up on screen, and you heard that like sparring theme that they had. I was like,
yep, those drums, yeah.
I was like, oh shit,
Logan just
got involved.
He's doing a lot of visual reaction on this audio medium, which is what you always love to see.
So, yeah, dude. I mean, Sharon, is it safe to say that she might not be all that meets the eye?
I don't. Do you think she's sort of willing to play both sides? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Maybe that, but also like she gets into the car at the end and says like, we've got a couple of problems, like maybe insinuating Sam and Bucky, or I don't know, man. It's been, I think, maybe a couple years since Civil War, so she's been rogue for a minute.
Yeah, well, then if she stayed on Earth and didn't get snapped away, it's been, you know, that plus 5 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she could be in deep.
Another real popular theory is that this power broker figure that we keep hearing about is actually General Ross from the Hulk movie. And this goes on for him to create his team of villains that is led by Baron Zemo in the comics.
And we see Zemo sort of making moves to get himself in the position that he wants to be. So, yeah, that's a good rumor.
Yeah, they... Also, U.S. Agent, that character gets the super soldier serum from the power broker in the comics, or I'm sorry, from General Ross in the comics. Like, General Ross gives him that to take on the Avengers or whatever. So I'm thinking that there's a possibility that they've been kind of leading on for a while that we see Ross as like Red Hulk, because that's who he is in the comics.
Yeah, Thunderbolt Ross. Is that his
nickname? That's it. Yep. That's it. The team is called the Thunderbolts.
So, oh, cool, cool.
So I was on some TikTok theory last night, and while these are just theories, just like with WandaVision, I'm not going to keep my hopes too high, but sure. I think there's some possibilities they have room to work with here.
Yeah, I think last weekend's episode was just a really good, like, solid step. Like, the action we sort of come to expect. A little bit less Sam and Bucky directly character work, but definitely some room for them to work off other characters. You know, Zemo and Carter, just a lot of room is sort of left open. And I think that, you know, they filled it well.
We're halfway done at this point.
This just seems like there's so many loose ends.
What are the chances that, well, actually, I think there was a headline a few weeks back. Somebody asked, like, Kevin Feige, I think it was like after the first episode aired, and they were like, how are you guys possibly wrapping this show up in 6 episodes? And he was just like, well, we don't really have plans to do a season 2, but if it makes sense in the future, we're not opposed to doing season 2. But like things like WandaVision, like that's a one and done. Like that was just a mini series type situation.
Yeah, yeah, they could kind of have like reactions to this sort of other big world changing events, just, and sort of reconnect with these two characters, if especially in this one, since it seems like they're sort of the story is them kind of growing to maybe not like each other, but at least be able to have a functioning work relationship.
Yeah. Last question I'll ask you before we move on to the next subject, but do you think that at this point in time, are we still in the camp of thinking that John Walker doesn't become a villain?
I still think he sort of gets a redemptive arc. I think we'll see him kind of bottom out in the next episode or two, either, and then his sidekick, I can't remember what his name is, Battlestar, might like call him on it, or you know, Sam and Bucky like give him some pithy Captain America, Chris Evans-esque speech. And then he's like, man, I was a dick. And then he, you know, sacrifices himself in some way. He actually dives on a grenade. They set that up earlier, so we could follow that up.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good point. Yeah, I personally also am in the camp. Like, there is that theory about Ross giving him the serum to take on Sam and Bucky to prove, or maybe not even to take them on, but to prove to them that he could do it type situation. Yeah. But I think you might be right. I think he might save their ass or sacrifice himself so the spirit of Captain America, like, lives on or something like that. Like,
yeah, I think him getting the serum and sort of becoming the villain of the series, that's a lot more cynical than a lot of other Marvel stuff has gone, which, you know, if they want to go that direction, that's great. And I think that doing it like in a show versus like in a movie is a sort of good way to start that shift. And I feel like Loki would be another good way to sort of do that same kind of thing. He's kind of a darker character, so he could, and more selfish, so putting him at the center of something could sort of start making things like a little bit darker.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm there. So overall, we love this episode.
Yeah.
And we are we're ready to continue. We're ready to hammer out the last three. So next up, the title release of the week. We got Godzilla versus Kong. Before I get into too much, let me just give you all some general information about the movie like I usually do. Godzilla versus Kong was first of all, it smashed box office records in 2020 and 2021 so far. Just obviously it's the biggest performing movie since the pandemic started, with $48 million. The runner up to that is Wonder Woman 2 with $11 million worldwide. So this movie really made its money, or made a lot of money back. Do you think that's a product of us just being further along in the pandemic than we were when Wonder Woman came out?
I think so. I think, you know, yeah, I mean, you went to see this movie in theater, which is sort of the first option you've had available in a long time. So,
yeah, I did. So everyone, Godzilla vs. Kong came out March 31st, 2021. On HBO Max, but also the theater option was there as well. It's around an hour and 53 minutes, just shy of 2 hours. Synopsis reads as, the epic next chapter in the cinematic monsterverse pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in between. This movie stars Alexander Skarsgård, Millie Bobby Brown, Kyle Chandler, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, and Godzilla and Kong. Matt, Oh, well, actually, before I get your thoughts, Matt, I want to check in with somebody else that might have a thought or two to share as well.
This is Tanner, coming in from Orange Beach, Alabama. I saw Godzilla versus Kong with Logan this week, or Thursday night, and I tell you what, it was really good. It was exactly what you wanted from a monster movie. Monsters fighting. But a couple of things. The people, just too much story, too much people. I would just want fighting. And I give it a 4 out of 5. I don't know. I have no idea what to say. Look at how red my face is getting. Because I'm fucking...
We're recording this in his bedroom post-movie. We saw the movie about 20 minutes ago. And if the recording sounds weird, it's because it's on the iPad. But yeah, Tanner, we just got out of this movie. Saw an IMAX.
Oh yes.
Do you think the movie would have earned a 4 out of 5 if we saw it at home?
No, just because the loudness and like the monsters roaring had a huge effect, and just like you could feel it, you know, sitting there. It was scary. Almost felt like I was there. Kind of the point of IMAX, right?
Yeah. Do you have, I guess, if you want, I can get back to me and Matt. Do you have any other thoughts, really? Or,
no, not
really. Any summarized review there?
I liked it. Loved the fighting. And too much people. And it gets a 4 out of 5 because of the people.
Would it have gotten a 5 out of 5 if it wasn't for the people?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not, since the story was... I didn't need... There was a lot of the story that I didn't need. I just wanted fighting.
All right.
You know?
Well, then, I guess it earns a 3.5 to 4 out of 5 from you.
Yep.
But we'll round up.
Yes. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Tanner.
No problem.
Have fun on vacation.
I will, and you guys have a great time binge-boying it up. Your guys will be, you know, mobbing over there.
Yeah, we're mobbing. Me and Matt are mobbing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, goodbye.
That was Tanner. Me and him recorded that little snippet right after we saw the movie because I wanted to get his thoughts in there.
Yeah,
we're mobbing right now, Matt.
Dude, you got another. That's 4 more just in the last 30 seconds alone.
Yeah, shouts to Tanner for putting those thoughts in. Matt, do you feel any similar thoughts that Tanner put forth there? Love the fighting. Didn't so much love the human elements of this movie.
Yeah, there's just way too much, like, you know, you have both of these things that we just want to see fight. Do I care why they're fighting? God, no. Just get them fighting. It's not that hard. Come on.
Yeah, it's the same criticism that the Transformers movies get. It's like, I signed up to come to the theater to watch giant robots beat the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
Why do I care about if Sam Witwicky passes his math test? I don't. I want to see Optimus Prime uppercut Megatron, cut his arm off, and throw it at Starscream. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why do I give a shit about Sam's dog peeing on the flowers? Like, fuck off with that shit.
I don't even want to see one of the robots pee on John Turturro.
Oh, man. Some of the roomies haven't seen Transformers. I think that's the next big franchise we're going to tackle together for movie nights.
Tough.
I might only ask them to watch the first three, because after the first three, after Shia LaBeouf departs, it kind of gets iffy.
Yeah,
and even then, after the first one, it gets real iffy.
Definitely.
But back to Godzilla versus Kong. I agree. I gave this movie a 4 out of 5, but if I did not see it in IMAX and I did not go to see it in the theater, it probably would have gotten a 3 or a 3.5. Watching this movie in the theater, was the best decision. I
definitely
can confidently say. Like, every time Godzilla roars and like the armrests like would vibrate, I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm here right now.
Yeah, and I still give it the 3 out of 5, and I don't know if it would have gotten the bump up for me in the theaters. I think it definitely would have helped, but I think, like, you know, beyond them just being monsters, I guess I haven't kept as close up with this cinematic universe as I could have, but I didn't have as much of a connection to them as I do, like, you know, a good superhero movie. I feel like the fighting and that's a little bit better. And it's like, these things are so big. They move like a lot slower. There's not as many unique things you can do with them. They tried, like, I'm, you know, definitely tried with their abilities and stuff like that. And it was definitely worth watching. I don't regret the time I spent doing it, but just know what you're getting.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know damn well that there's a good chunk of this movie that really is fighting. It's not like Batman versus Superman where they hype up like Batman versus Superman and then there's like a 20-minute fight scene and the rest of the movie is just politics. This movie, you get a good amount of Kong versus Godzilla. Like, they definitely deliver on that promise.
Yeah, easily a third of the movie is just solid fight scenes involving them or I can't remember previously unnamed third one. Was that in the trailer?
At this point, I think we can name him, but Mecha Godzilla is in this movie. He's of course he's the doomsday of this movie. Batman versus Superman have to team up in the end and fight a greater threat. Well, guess what? The humans are the greater threat in this movie because they make a giant robot Godzilla
and try to power it with Ghidorah's like thing. It's like, what a surprise, humans meddling and stuff and making it go all wrong.
This is a classic example of humans meddling with shit they have no idea about.
Yeah whatever.
Like, I think the villain in this movie was had the cheesy line of like, there's monsters out there but humans need to be the one on top, and it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah And it's like, okay, so you use a monster to get there and then that thing turns like on everything. It's like, yeah, as soon as like they introduce that, I'm like, I know exactly, this is exactly how it's gonna happen. I think I called this from the trailer.
which is annoying because there was a quote, and maybe we give our thoughts on this, but there was a moment where the director was interviewed in the press for this movie, and he said that one of them clearly comes out on top. Given seeing the movie, would you assume that's Godzilla? Or would you assume that's Kong that comes out on top?
I think it's like no decision. Like, they both get what they kind of want. Like, Kong goes to like the Middle Earth or Hollow Earth. Yeah, sorry to all the big fans out there. But and yeah, Godzilla gets Earth or like regular Earth, but they can still cross the barrier and fight each other. So I don't really see how that's any different.
No, I guess if you want to take the element of, if you want to take Mecha Godzilla out of question, pretend he wasn't even the movie.
Oh, I see.
Was Godzilla the winner here?
It depends. Are we talking armed or unarmed combat? Because once the axe got brought in, it's game over.
Once the axe got brought in, it was game over. Like, when I tell you that these fights were like really, it was fun watching. Like, yeah. There was a couple scenes where I like laughed to myself because I was like, oh my God, that was fucking awesome. Like,
yeah. Just all the, just Kong like hopping around the atomic breath. Like, I thought that was, yeah, there's like I said, it's not quite as unique as like some other like fight choreography we've seen, but there's still really good stuff in there. Like, it's so really well done.
Yeah. Like, there's a scene, I think, that Kong like jumps off of a building, grabs the like roof of another building and like, just bumps, like, got, like, there's a lot of cool fight. They definitely choreographed, like, the different fight styles of the different characters. Like, Godzilla mainly relied on the breath.
Yeah.
But then, like, when it got up close and personal, he was, like, scratching and biting, like.
The tail, yeah.
Oh, yeah, using the tail, whereas Kong was just brute force, like.
Yeah.
There's that action shot in the trailer where they're both standing on the, like, the gunship, which, by the way, what's the weight limit on those gunships?
Yes. They're big, but I don't, like, these are, you know, 1,000-ton monsters.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
What? What's the weight limit? Like, that thing, you got to think that thing's sinking.
It's not staying up, I can tell you that much.
But there's that awesome action shot of, like, Godzilla, like, turning his head and Kong just, like, knocking the fuck out of him. And my theater was really engaging too. Like, there was like, ooh, and ah.
Yeah. Oh man, I missed that for sure.
It was good, maybe I'm a little bit on a high because of the good, like, return to the theater. Mm-hmm. However, if you take out the annoying human characters, and let's not even talk about the Skarsgård stuff. That stuff I found okay. But the Millie Bobby Brown whole storyline could have just gotten tossed for me, dude.
Yeah, it's just... And, like, I'm guessing she was in, like, the previous one with, like, her dad, which is why he was, like, barely in this one. They were just kind of stringing it along to make sure we all remember that, you know, this is 2021 and nothing is just a movie anymore. It's a universe. So.
It's connected to something else somehow.
Right, yeah.
Did you see Godzilla King of the Monsters, Matt?
I haven't seen any of these, but I've seen some older Godzilla movies, so I definitely have my... my knowledge of the different players.
I'd be curious if you had seen the previous ones, if you'd maybe go a little higher on your score, because okay. 2014's Godzilla was pretty solid. Do you remember Cloverfield?
Yes.
Where you are running from the monster the entire movie, but you never see the monster. Mm-hmm. That was Godzilla in 2014.
Interesting. So it's, like, that's a very interesting transition from that kind of more, you know, no offense to anyone involved with this movie, more artistic take on a Godzilla movie to now go with kind of the big budget popcorn.
Yeah. Version. Oh, yeah. That first movie was made, like, for the, like, yeah, like, when Godzilla attacked in that first movie, you would see like everything going to shit, and then you would see the camera pan out and see like a cloud of smoke, and you'd see just the tip of his tail like disappearing around the corner of it. Like you mm-hmm. would never actually see Godzilla himself until the last like 30 minutes of the movie where he fought the main opposing force.
Yeah.
But other than that, like there's like an hour and a half of just buildup, which made that movie better because the whole movie, yeah. you're just like waiting for it.
Yeah. I was going to ask how effective, like you found that if it was just kind of like, oh, come on, get to the monster. Or if like, since it was like more focused on like the human characters, like, did you not quite notice that as much?
Yeah. The human characters, ironically enough, Elizabeth Olsen playing that played by, Scarlet Witch, and her husband in the movie is Aaron Taylor Johnson that plays Quicksilver in the MCU too. So it's cool to see those two as well. I'd at least give that first one a viewing. But overall, I think we decided it's an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
Don't regret the time we spent watching it at all.
Can I make one comment while I was looking to see it, check out the signs on them on the aircraft carrier?
Yes.
There was a article discussing whether or not they could have that fight on the boat that was blocking the Suez Canal. So very topical.
Okay.
They said no.
Oh boy, dude. Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, I mean, well, actually I forgot to make this point. This movie really feels like Kong's movie.
Yeah, he's definitely like, he's pretty much the protagonist, like human or otherwise.
Yeah, if you want to say that one of these is the hero and one of these is the villain, with the exception of Mecha Godzilla at the very end, you would argue that Kong is the hero and Godzilla is the villain here.
Godzilla does nothing helpful to anybody.
Godzilla in this movie does nothing good. It's true. He doesn't do anything good. Except for help Kong fight Mechagodzilla in the end.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
But, yeah, I guess that's Kong versus Godzilla. Shouts to Tanner for tuning in, pre-tuning in, for his thoughts on the movie. It was a nice start to, I guess, our summer movie season. Like, yep. It was a fun movie to watch. It was a good popcorn flick, so throw it on HBO Max if you've got it. It's not a waste of time by any means. Just know that whenever Millie Bobby Brown pops up on screen, that's when you can go to the bathroom.
Although we do stan our podcaster king, Brian Tyree Henry.
I did like that connection, but and Brian Tyree Henry is awesome in anything he's in. He's
Oh yeah.
You can tell he gives 110%, so that's why I kind of feel bad bashing the human characters, but he knows what he signed up for.
Yeah, with this, the performance is all fine. Just the script did no favors for anybody. No one's coming out looking good in this one, but they give it their best shot.
Correct. So, with that said, it's the first episode of the month, which means we always gather around to talk about what we're consuming content-wise. I figured I'd lump this in with the Logan's Goat album quest continued.
Sure.
Listened to a few albums last week. I figured I'm only going to listen to a few a week because, believe it or not, like, it's kind of overwhelming at times with the amount of music that y'all have given me. I guess I asked for it, but, like, there's still a lot of albums on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to Trap Music by T.I., Coloring Book by Chance the Rapper.
Big fan of that one. What would you think about it?
That's almost a five. I think I gave it a 5 out of 5 or a 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a real, like, even though it is like pretty much straight rap, there's a lot of like gospel and just like his beats are like pretty interesting and gets a lot of good features.
I think I gave that, I think I put How Great Is as the favorite song on that album. It just got goosebumps when the choir comes in and starts singing.
Yeah,
it's a really good one. I listened to 10 by Pearl Jam. Very,
That was a little bit lower for you than I was expecting. Oh, I guess not than I was expecting, but then I gave it.
Well, I'm trying to remember. I'll go back and look at my highlights here, what I gave it. But I did enjoy, or no, that's not the right highlight. I did enjoy the album. I was talking about it with my dad, actually, the other day, and I enjoyed my listen through. I didn't hate it. Oh, I did give it a 3 out of 5. Man, that didn't age well. I'd probably give it a 4. I really enjoyed myself. Of course, Even Flow, the standout for me, as well as Jeremy. I love Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Alive, those were my top 3. Also listened to Pink Friday by Nicki Minaj.
How has that one aged? I remember liking it at the time, but like thinking that the beats were kind of like, I listened to it like a year after it came out and I was like, it just didn't seem to age well. So have a few more years given it.
No, I gave this one a 3 out of 5 and this one earns that. I mean, Super Bass, Fly, and a few other songs were standout. But other than that, like they were just, it just wasn't the move for me. listened to the Marshall Mathers LP by Eminem, which like 6 skits. but other than that, I loved it. It was very good. Mm-hmm. Then we got DS2 by Future. Some say that one of the best modern rap albums made. And yeah, 4 or 4.5 out of 5, really fucking entertaining. And then Stony to wrap up the week last week by Post Malone, the predecessor to Beer Bongs and Bentleys. Gave that one a 4.5 out of 5 as well. So, well, I guess I can announce this one. I haven't made a post for it yet, but I listened to The Blueprint by Jay-Z this morning. Okay. And I did not enjoy myself very much.
Really?
Jay-Z just isn't for me, man. Like, I listened to The Story of OJ or whatever, that album. Mm-hmm. Or no, sorry, 444. And while the songs were good and Jay-Z is an incredible rapper, it's just not made for me.
That's fair.
However, so I give it like a 3, 3.5 out of 5. Definitely something that's not in my rotation, but I do respect those that came before what we have now.
Yeah. I just really like some of the Kanye produced beats on it, like Heart of the City. Like I'm a big fan of that one.
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of what we got coming up this week, we've got Get Rich or Die Tryin' by 50 Cent, Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar, another Jay-Z with Kanye, Watch the Throne, Long Live ASAP by ASAP Rocky, and then probably closing it out with 2014 Forest Hills Drive, J. Cole.
It's all a solid week ahead of you.
All of which were requested by Pearson, former Binge Boy. So I'm excited. Maybe I'll throw in Hannah Montana the Movie, which is on here.
All right.
It's on here. We'll see. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really liking this thing that I've been doing. It's getting me a chance to listen to a lot of really good music and bad music.
What's the worst thing you've listened to? Is it the Jay-Z?
No, Nicki Minaj was worse than Jay-Z.
Really? And I think so. Wow.
I think so. Let's look. Let's actually 3.5, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 4, 4.5, 4, 3.5, 5, 4. Yeah, probably either Nicki Minaj or probably Nicki Minaj or Jay-Z, to be honest. I really liked the 444 album, but not this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know right now. But before I get into what I've been like watching, what have you been binging slash watching or anything lately, Matt?
Dude, nothing too crazy. Just sort of holding it down, watching some sports. Might see if I can finagle a spot onto Dude What About Sports from Watchdog Media, of course.
Oh, okay.
just getting the plugs in, you know what it is. Your quest has gotten me to kind of go back and listen to some new albums. So I've been going through just some classic Kanye, Graduation, Yeezus. Oh, and that, yeah. Listen to that. Listen to, always listen to Casey Musgraves. So that's not really new. Don't need to talk about that. And then watching, I don't know, man, just kind of whatever's going on in the background. The girlfriend's been going through shows at a dangerous clip, so I've been catching some of Gilmore Girls, caught some Dawson's Creek, just some, you know, big 90s vibes, and I think Schitt's Creek is back in the rotation. But yeah, man, just kind of in like a you know, TV purgatory right now. I haven't quite been able to break out anything new that's stuck for anything meaningful. Tried some like cooking shows and like food travel shows just to kind of fill the no travel void for a little while, and it's pretty good. The street food series on Netflix, would definitely check that out. The Chef's Table, I think, barbecue, we watched that. There's a guy in Australia who cooks literally everything with fire, including just like lettuce, so that was kind of crazy. But yeah, man, I feel like I'm not really bringing it in terms of what I've been watching, so I'm definitely letting I am not doing my fair amount of binging for the binge boys.
That's fair. I've tried to be binging stuff. Me and Catherine binged the first two seasons of Succession.
Okay.
On HBO, noted. I know you've heard baseline thoughts about it from the Circling Back guys, but it's amazing. I almost want to go back now that I give a shit about the show and listen to what their thoughts were, because it's great. I highly recommend that show to anybody. Over the past month, the second season of Servant on Apple TV Plus wrapped up. Me and Catherine were watching that as well. Started The West Wing. Historically, I'm pretty sure it's another one of those shows that they say that you should watch. Like it's yep. Very much so award winning and has a great cast. So I've kind of started that. I haven't watched an episode with that in a few days, and I'm not like feeling myself to be called back yet, but I do know that it's one that I do want to watch. Course, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I sort of lost the momentum, but I've been looking for a way to shout out my boy Nick, who I know is listening. He's a big West Wing fan.
Okay. Shouts to Nick. I start Apple TV Plus has this new show called Calls, and it's a really interesting concept. In fact, it's only cell phone calls. There's no people on screen. It's just like interesting phone calls that kind of like take a turn. They're all each like 20 minutes long, but it's interesting for sure. It's definitely different. I mean, it's got an amazing cast.
I've heard both those things, that it's kind of, you know, a visual audio drama, and it's got a great cast. So yeah, if that ever finds its way into my streaming rotation, I think I'd definitely be interested in giving that a try.
It's dope because you can just throw it on in the background because it's a phone call. You don't need to watch anything. You kind of just have to listen. And I'll throw it on when I'm folding laundry or doing something in the room, maybe cleaning up or cooking or whatever. So it's entertaining. And then I started this show on HBO Max, kind of another like throw on in the background. There's only one season of it. It's called Beware the Batman. And it's a Batman animated cartoon that Cartoon Network was running for one season, and then they canceled it because of, I think Warner Brothers wanted to, this is back when, I think the show got canceled in 2014 after one season. They wanted to like start the whole Batman reboot with Ben Affleck, so they kind of scrapped all their existing Batman projects. And this one, it's pretty cool so far. It's probably going to get a 3 out of 5 or a 3.5. It's just been a fine watch. I mean, it's they utilize villains that aren't used in the movies and TV shows, so they have a lot of different villains that you've never heard of, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, who's been the zaniest one so far?
Oh God, if I'm being honest, I don't even know their names. I mean, the League of Assassins is pretty much, I think, the main villain.
Yeah,
because it's okay. Supposed to take place in Batman's like first year. So the League of Assassins is a really relevant figure. But other than that, man, I've actually been on a kick of watching movies, like I hinted at earlier with the roommates. And I had never watched the Pirates of the Caribbean movies before.
Really?
Never had seen them. And I watched the first three last week. Curse of the Black Pearl got a 3 out of 5 from me. Dead Man's Chest got a 4 out of 5. And At World's End, god damn, 5 out of 5, dude. That movie's a banger. Wow.
Rare to see the build as the series goes on.
Yeah, so I think this week at some point we're going to try to watch On Stranger Tides and Dead Men Tell No Tales, although they've both roommates have told me that those two are kind of disregarded.
Yeah.
The original trilogy is kind of the highlight there, but yeah, that's kind of what I've been binging. I'm not really binging anything crazy. I'd like to get deeper into West Wing, but your boy also got a part-time job at a pizza place slinging Zuh. Please, dude, if for some reason Watchdog ever takes on a cooking podcast, can we please call it Slinging Zah?
Slinging Zah, coming soon. Locking down that handle right now.
So I almost feel like Slinging Zah could be like almost like circling back, like,
yeah,
just definitely. Shooting the shit, like Slinging Zah is maybe I will lock that handle down. Fuck, I don't know,
maybe. No reason not to.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been binging. Anything else on your radar coming up here in the next couple weeks?
Nothing crazy. Every time we do this, I feel like I plug the Dissect podcast, but they are dropping a new season on Yeezus, which is why I was listening. So if you want to give that really weird album another set of eyes, hop into that. But unless you want to hear me talk about board games, it's probably where we cut it.
It's fine. If they're important to you, then give them some light.
I mean, I don't got to really give this one love. The real ones know that Terraforming Mars is kind of the GOAT.
Okay.
So that's a good one. Big fan of Wingspan. Played that one recently and looking to cop for myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go as deep as you want me to, man. But I'll just give those two out for free and make everyone pay for the rest.
Cool. Well, we'll do a whole episode of Matt just going in on board games,
dude.
That'd be tight.
Let me do it.
So,
let me cook.
So yeah, that's kind of this episode for the week. We've got some good programming out this week as well. We had, Dude, What About Sports released today, the day we're recording episode 3. Mitch and Austin released an epi today. Obviously, you're listening to this Binge Boys on Tuesday. And then Thursday, we've got the run through coming out from Emily and Megan and I about American Psycho.
Ooh.
And Friday, we got an interview with a good friend of mine, Anastasia. She's starting a whole cooking brand YouTube channel and podcast about wellness. So,
shouts Slinging to Zah, is it?
No, it's unfortunately not called Slinging Zah. Until then, guys, that's really it this week. Like I said at the top, rate and review, please. That's the main thing I need from you. And other than that, like, follow us on Instagram for updates. And I guess we can see everybody next time.
See ya. Goodbye.